glad to know even the pros normally go through this.
Tunaro, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back. Hey, I won't even lie to you. This is a second take. Jitters too. Welcome to another season of The Playhouse. This is season 5 of The Playhouse, and we are super excited to be back. I've met a lot of you, and a lot of you have been asking me emails. I've seen your DMs. Some of you have bumped into different places, and you've been like, Richie, when is CTA coming back? Hiki tunanijenga. When are you bringing this thing back? All in God's timing, as I like to say. So it is an honor and a pleasure and a privilege that you are giving us your time, your attention, and welcome to season 5 of The Playhouse. One thing that I'm going to promise you is that every single time when we stop The Playhouse, because we've stopped, we constantly stop, but when we stop and then we come back bigger, better, more impactful, with different guests. So it is a pleasure to be back, and season 5, this is the premiere, the very first series of season 5, with an amazing guest. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with me I have an incredible, incredible woman of God. And just a woman, to be honest, man. I've known her for quite some time. We've bumped into each other and connected at various stages of my life. And it is by no coincidence that she is the first guest on The Playhouse. If you know, you know. I know some people are looking and like, what? She has come in front of the screen. She's more comfortable being behind the scenes. Absolutely. And she has done a lot. When I'm telling you a lot, I'm talking about in entertainment. I'm talking about in the private sector. I'm talking about in the public sector. And I don't even want to let it out. I want her to be able to tell her story in the holistic way that we do right here on CTA. So you got to keep watching if you want to know her story. But I promise you, it is not by coincidence that she is the first person that we are having this conversation with. Salah. I've been talking too much, so let me just do what I do, which is the intro, and then we kick this off. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for none other than Salah Mokonko. Budget need tight, and we do our own sound effects, and I'm with Manda here. So, Salah, welcome to CTA.
Thanks, Richie.
This has been a long time coming.
I almost called you A-Star, but yeah, Richie.
Yeah, it's okay. A-Star, by the way, is also my name, Matthew 5:16.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so you can call me A-Star, Richie, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
So I'm not wasting any more time. Let's kick this thing up from the very beginning. And the first question that I like asking on CTA is, let's start the story from birth. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your childhood, where you were born, what your family structure. Aha.
All right, so first of all, thanks for having me. It's taken quite a bit to get me here, so I pray that God actually is glorified in this process, otherwise it would be in vain for me. So
I love that beginning.
So my name is Salah Mokonko, born in Kisii, stayed there for a few years, and then moved to Nairobi, which we'll get to. I'm the third born in a family of six. We're six of us children, at least the ones who are born to my parents, because we're that family that used to have cousins over, you know, throughout. So sometimes you'd wonder, okay, how many are we really in this family? But being the third born, I was always the one who everyone would forget, you know.
How many girls, how many boys?
So we're three girls, three boys. And like I said, being the third one, I'd always been the one who everyone forgets. You know, relatives would come and they're like, so they'd remember the last ones or the ones after me, and of course the first ones. But somehow you get like, and then I was a good girl. So I was just like a quiet girl, you know, in the corner somewhere. So somehow I'd always be forgotten. And I think that in a way sort of like began to shape who I am in terms of this whole thing about me being very private, very in my space, in my world. Mm. But in a negative way for many people, especially those middle borns, there's a way it can dent your identity. Mm. It can dent the kind of person that you become, because you sort of like get lost in the crowd. So for me, I think that is an important thing to say, because that's a foundation in which God began to build my own identity outside of just being a third born, outside of being forgotten by everyone. You know, people would come and say, oh, by the way, and who's this, you know? Mm. So
Can I ask, in terms of first born and second born, is it boy, girl, or just, I want to understand.
So there's boy, girl, girl, me, mm-hmm. and then girl, the last born according to my father, and then two boys after mm-hmm. that. So Like I said, the firstborns were very, you know, animated, and they had, and we are all spaced out in 2 years. So it's like a kadoremi sort of family.
Proper family planning happened.
When we were in primary, we were all in primary. When we were in high school, like four of us were in high school, or three of us were in high school at some point. So it was a very nice like environment to grow up in. But at the same time, like I said, there was the characters that, and I'll speak about, of course, our different personalities, because I sort of like had to find myself much later in life, mm-hmm. because the other ones are more gifted, like say education. My mom is a teacher, so you'd have school, like you'd go to school and then you come back home and you still have school. Mm-hmm. But she's an angel. That's the word that we normally use to describe her. My dad, on the other hand, should have gone to the army, because he is the extreme opposite. You know, he's very firm. He's very guarded in terms of, especially his daughters.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, he really was. I mean, you'd hear his footsteps, and I know people say this, but for us it was real. You hear, you know the time he's coming, or you hear the car coming, and you just figure out, okay, what have I done, or what haven't I done? So, those are, you know, those are like the personalities of my dad and my mom. But in a way, I loved the environment in which we grew up, because there was a lot of pressure. First of all, from just my siblings, because, you know, our firstborn rather is very sharp, you know, very bright. Mm. And then my sister, my elder sister, is very, she has a strong personality, yeah. Let me just say it that way. And then my younger sister is like what we call a genius. Mm-hmm. So, as we grew up.
And I know your younger sister, Judy.
Yes.
Yeah, just to give her a shout out, man. Yep.
By the way, for her, that's like a big deal. You know, she's the full sanguine.
Yep.
And then, of course, my two younger brothers who are, you know, I mean, they were, of course, part of the family, and they have their own sort of like strong personality, also very bright, you know. The reason I'm bringing up the issue of education is because that was like the emphasis as we were growing up.
Uh-huh.
We would have performance reviews. Like you close school and you have to come, we'd have a meeting where you come with your report card and you say how you performed. And it was always tied to things that you'd get, like for every A, you'd get 100 bulb, you know, something like that. And so, of course, there were those who would shine in those moments, you know, and they know themselves, you know, they would shine in those moments. And like I said, I was bright, but I was your number... your number five, you know, like... No, but you're competing with guys who are like number one all the time, have gotten A's in maths and all that. So there was a lot of pressure, honestly, while growing up. But like I said, that sort of pushed me to discover who I am in God. Mm. That pushed me to begin to form my own identity away from what had already been sort of like prescribed as what was important in the home environment.
Okay, so you mentioned you were born in Kisii.
Yeah.
How long were you there? Can we talk a little bit about that era of your life?
Well, it was very brief.
Okay.
Because back then, my mom and dad were in Kisii. Then I think my mom got transferred, and my dad as well, to Nairobi. So we then moved. So that was like 2 years for me.
Ah, okay.
So we didn't really... Okay, then we moved to Kibera. So the guys who live in Kibera, you know, we started out in Ayani and then went to Karanja Road for the longest time. So Kibich is my home.
I even like when Derek was... saw you and Derek was like, and I was like, you know, Sela grew up in Kibera, and you're like, what? Anaka kibabi?
In it, of course.
So,
but yeah.
Yeah, and I, like, when you say you lived in Kibera, I would love to hear that story. So let's see. Okay, so you come to Kibera. Probably you can't even remember. You're saying you're 2 years old.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years old.
Okay.
Like I said, because we were around about the same age, you know, because all of us, I mean, like 2 years apart.
Yes.
So you're sort of like in the same age bracket. Mm-hmm. When we moved to Kibera, I mean, my memory is very... But basically, it was an environment where it was exciting for me because, you know, the days of playing Blada and Bano and those things are real for me because that's how we grew up. And then it was in an estate environment. So
you're
many of you at that age.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the first school that you go to?
My mom used to teach in Olympic, and Olympic when Olympic was Olympic. So guys, very many celebrities that I know right now who went through Olympic actually know my mom because she taught them. She taught many of the guys who went through Olympic at that time when it was like the school to go to. But so three of us went to Olympic, and then three of us went to Joseph Kangethe, which was then a new public school that is in the Woodley area.
And how was Olympic for you? So that's where you did, like you started your class one.
I didn't go to Olympic, thankfully, because my mom was the one teaching there, so you can imagine the pressure. I went to Joseph Kangethe primary school, but unfortunately my dad was in the board, and he felt like that was his day job. So he'd always drop us and then, you know, like stay, and you're wondering, okay, don't you have a job, you know? But he was really instrumental in especially laying the foundation, it being an initial, a new rather public school. But again, foundationally, for me, it was like, I enjoyed my relationship with my dad because in Olympic, I was actually the only girl there. So the other two went to, Olympic.
Were you in Olympic or Joseph?
Sorry, Kangethe? I went to Joseph Kangethe. So in Olympic, the other two girls went. So this side, it was me, you know, and my eldest brother, and then the youngest brother who came a bit later. So that attention from him was good. But then it's still, I mean, you can't steal the shine from Judy. So yeah, she was always a baby girl.
So there's, you only hear the negative side about Kibera when you hear about it. As somebody who lived in Kibera, I want to hear your version of what that was for you, your honest version.
So the truth is, Kibera, I don't know that it still is, but I think it's the largest slum in Africa. So for the longest time, it was, what people don't know is actually that Kibera has been used as a tourist destination. You know, the way you guys go to Mombasa, it's always been used like that for many NGOs to go there and, you know, basically take videos of the kind of environment that people live in and all that. So we'd see that, you know, when you're growing up, but you'd never see the amount of money that has been poured there and what it's been able to do or in terms of transformation of lives, you know. So that's the Western media or the media in general in terms of portraying Kibera. But for someone who grew up there, I know it to be the thing that shaped my identity in a way, you know? Because every time we'd live there, but then my dad would always push us to think beyond there, you know? And this also became much stronger for me, especially in my walk with God, as I began to discover who I am and know who I am. You can start off somewhere, but it doesn't mean that you have to remain where you are, regardless of where you start. You know, for me, it was Kibera, but then it could be anywhere, really. And I think one of the things that my girls know about me is I constantly push myself. I never let where I am right now become like the place that I've settled for, you know, or settled on. Powerful. I always push myself, whether it's in terms of, you know, workout or in pursuit of God, which is, for me, the ultimate thing that I would always, you know, exert my energy, my passion in. I can never create like a monument of where I am right now. So Kibera for me was like a place where you go for training, and then after that it becomes, you know, a reference point that catapulted you into another version of yourself.
But I love what you've said. Your dad was instrumental in instilling that character in you of pushing yourself out. Let's talk a little bit more about your relationship, you and your dad. I know in the beginning you've talked about the footsteps, him coming and you wondering, oh my God. But it sounds like you also had a tight relationship. If I'm not wrong, or am I wrong?
I think he was tighter with the other daughters. Like I said...
Number third born.
Third born. Lost in the crowd, you know, completely forgotten many times, you know. Like I said, my elder sister was the more animated one. And then she, in fact, people think that she was probably closest to my dad because they're similar in terms of character. And then, of course, the last one was just the baby girl who was completely spoiled, I think, to date. But
what about in school? In school, did you feel, because there's no third born in school. In school, in fact, you all become peers.
Your family shapes who you are in a way. Your environment while you're growing up shapes who you are. Because even if you go to school, you still go back home. And that sort of like builds up the character of the kind of person that you become or the kind of person that you are, if you let it, because again, it's a choice in my view. You get to, like when I discovered that, okay, you're lost in the crowd, but you can become who you want to be because then you're not being pushed or shoved into a certain definition. You can actually get to know you, I mean, get to know yourself in terms of get to know yourself in God and then be able to mold who you want to be. And I'm grateful because my discovery of God.
That's what I was going next. You've mentioned already the word God like 72,000 times. Is that then something that becomes, that you find very early in life?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's.
In a way, initially, it was religion, honestly. And religion, I mean, just like, let me say in school, like in primary school, you know, when you're forced to go to pastoral classes. Mm-hmm. But then there's something that was going on inside of me that kept on thinking, there has to be more to this. Okay. I was really like hungry for I felt like God became my fallback, or God became the thing that I felt, oh, okay, this one I can actually become really good at, or it can become my thing. Mm. And I got lost in that. And lost, I mean, just completely gave myself to that to date, which you will see throughout my story.
Okay, fine. So anything that you feel like you want to mention about your primary time at Joseph Kanyela? Or was it just the usual school, homework, back home?
Well, people don't actually know this about me, but I was very naughty in school. I was a balanced, I was like, I don't know, maybe the word is cheeky. Mm-hmm. But again, it was, I guess, I was principled in terms of extremely focused on who I am and what I want. But at the same time, I was trying to find my place, and therefore, once in a while, I'd get into trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. You weren't as polite as you appear to be.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy school? Did you enjoy Joseph Kanyela, or was it the thing that you had to do?
You mean, did I enjoy primary school?
Yeah.
I did because it wasn't stressful for me. The only stressful part was when you go back home and you're having to be asked, okay, how did you perform this term compared to last term? And then, of course, everyone else is giving their report card. So that moment for me was very stressful.
Okay.
But it's like I said, it gave me a reason for me to look for my own identity in God.
Okay. I'm beginning to understand. History is so important in understanding how it shapes people to make certain decisions along their path in life.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, before we transition into maybe high school, I want to find out, what was the relationship like with you and your siblings? I've heard about it in comparison to your parents,
yeah.
But what was the personal relationship like with you and your siblings?
I think it was good. It was really good. I think it's like we used to have our own, what is it called? Because we grew up around the same age, mm-hmm. you know, or same like time or age bracket, like I said earlier. So we'd always go through the same issues or similar issues at the same time.
Okay.
I think for me it was exciting because we would form. I used to rap, by the way, when I was younger.
Nothing. Drop bars.
I'd give you competition. So I was a tomboy.
Mm.
So I was completely. I wasn't the lady or the, you know, composed chick that I am right now. I was the full tomboy. I was always more comfortable with my brothers as opposed to, you know, my sisters and all that. But in terms of growing up, we have fond memories. You know, it's not like you're too far apart in terms of age. So we have fond memories of jokes we'd crack, experiences that we had that are very similar. So to date, we have things that we remember that we went through together and they're great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's transition then now into high school. Where do you spend your 8 years in that one school?
Oh yeah.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you go next, and how do you do?
I did. What do you mean? Like, what was my performance?
Yes.
You are now bringing back the memory of.
Because you've made it sound like it was such an important thing in your family.
I guess I did okay because I ended up in St. George's.
Okay.
Nice. Girls' high school, which was. Brilliant school, I would say.
Yes, it was.
I think still is.
Okay.
And I think that's when my life began to, the definition of who I am began to take shape. But just before that, you know, in class 8, like in between while you're waiting to be called to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I now got into church proper.
NPC Woodley.
NPC Woodley.
Uh-huh.